I'm here with Laurie Simon and Gerald Robinson to talk about this movie, Ensoulment. The screening is going to be tomorrow, Thursday, May 15th, at the Foundation Gallery. And Loris made the movie. So just to start off, what's this movie about and why did you want to make it?
Well, thank you for inviting me to talk. And I think the movie came out of me graduating from college and sort of trying to understand how the world was working, and especially in the areas of women. And I was sitting at a cafe with my mom, and she was like, what are you going to do? I was having a really existential moment. And she's like, what are you passionate about? So, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was women. And I had taken some retreats before with her at the Marion Woodman Foundation. They have some bodyful retreats that last for a week. And so we talked about the feminine, about what was happening in our lives, how we can just come back to ourselves. And at that time, I think when I went, I was confused by the term feminine, and I thought it was talking about women. So I thought that's what I was passionate about, because I was seeing all these women around me, and all from different areas, saying that they either wanted to get married, or they wanted to have this successful career, or they wanted both, or, you know, they wanted all these things. So, I mean, inevitably I was thinking, what path I should take and what would be right for me. But at the same time, I was faced with all these really feminist arguments about where women stand and how far they can truly get, if it's right or wrong, quote unquote, if she should just marry someone. So I was thinking, well, I mean, if anything is ever going to change, it has to come from the inside out. We can't just expect that laws are going to change the way we think and the way we feel about everything in our lives. So I started working on an approach to feminism from a psychological point of view. That was sort of the intention. But as I started to do more research, to read more, to talk to some people, I started realizing that the feminine had nothing to do with women. It was actually completely a genderless term, and it had to do with both and at the same time. So I started going in that direction, and I covered different areas, the media, the body, men, relationships, the workforce, and religion. And I take a little bit of time in each area just sort of looking at what the feminine is in these areas and how it is being devalued, how we could probably change to make our lives more balanced and ultimately happier, hopefully. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Cool. So what do you think you learned the most through making this movie? Or what's been your biggest takeaway, you think?
I spent so much time focusing on the feminine that right now it's really hard to just look at it on its own. I mean, it's very intertwined with the masculine as well. You know, you can't just speak of it without having the masculine present. So this idea, I mean, you know, as a documentary, you start with one big point of view, you know, and as I finished the film, that sort of vanished, and it just gave me a wider perspective of how things work, just both inside and outside. You know, nothing's white and black. Everything's on a gray scale.
So, Dr. G, you'll also be speaking after the movie, and just curious your thoughts about the feminine or what you're looking forward to speaking about.
Well, I am looking forward to speaking. This is a topic that I'm really passionate about. The thing is we are evolving into a collective consciousness with a critical mass of people who are open to living complex lives. And I do stress the word evolve because it is a way in which we can operate without blame, and it's a way in which we can address some of the shame stuff that comes up, which is, you know, a big part, I think, in the film does bring up shame. But there's a sense that there's us versus them. Yes? Okay. There's an evolution of human consciousness that's making it possible for people to want to live fuller lives at this time. There are many reasons for that. One is the internet alone. Just the global reality makes it very difficult for nations and villages and communities and individuals to maintain strict binary judgments of right and wrong, good manners, bad manners, etc. And with that, it's said that we have to look at the fact that life is more like a labyrinth than it is like a straight line. And some of our earlier teachings that have endured for, you know, a few thousand years has been to focus on a more linear way of living, that you're born and you make certain choices throughout your life and then your life concludes and that's a good life. We have infinite possibilities presented to us in this generation, and it does require an integration of the spiral. You know, and I refer to the sacred spiral, and there's the sacred linear, and they both have their strengths. And unfortunately, there's an element of decolonization, as I call it, and I don't just mean the colonial forces of Europe. I mean an overall decolonizing of the mind, we'll just say, in that we're all calibrated to value the linear and not value the spiral. And so when people are drawn to follow their heart's desires, an element of fear or shame may come up, because it's like, oh, maybe I'm taking a wrong turn. I'm not heading directly towards my goal. And there already are templates that tell me you do this, 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 and this to achieve a goal. And for some reason, I'm feeling a desire to travel for the next 5 years rather than look like I'm going straight for my goal. So it's, I really want to discuss like ways that we are specifically addressing sort of the decolonization of our spirits. Like, how am I realizing that I need to empower myself and my family and the people around me to make these spiral-spirited choices, to make these heartfelt choices, and embrace the fact that I am still goal-oriented, that it's not by taking a left turn, even though the thing is to my right, perhaps that left turn is going to create an environment for me and bring information to me that's going to make the fruition for me achieving my goal more meaningful to me and the people around me. And I think we'll see that effect in terms of, you know, using some of the older shamanic practices and belief systems of, let's say, the indigenous people of the Americas, considering the next seven generations. I may have a personal goal, but when I consider the effects that this goal may have on the people around me over time, I may have to change my expectations or change my template in order to take more things into account as I'm pursuing my personal goals.
Wow, yeah. It is a really pertinent conversation. And I guess I just asked for both of you, you know, kind of as a preview, like, what does the feminine mean to you? If, Loris, you want to start.
You know, the Austerian doctor detailed just really quickly before I answer your question.
Yeah.
This thing about, you know, evolving and decolonizing all this, one of the biggest problems we faced while we made the film was finding the right term to address the feminine, you know, and a lot of people completely disagree with using the feminine because of all the associations that people had with it. And, you know, we face, like, the uncertainty principle or fight brain thinking or, you know, it never really dawned on me, well, obviously until I did this film, how important language really is, because those are the words that, you know, the words that resound with us that resonate with us, that's what causes it, what clicks for the change to actually happen. Sometimes, I don't know, you know, we all sometimes, you know, we hear different things and we say, oh, I know that. But until someone comes and says it in a different way, whatever way it may be, and then it clicks, you know, it just takes that 10th time for someone to say it, that the way they say it or a word they use, it clicks. And you're like, oh, I really know it now. I really understand it now. And that, you know, makes you change more. And everyone has to find that, but I mean, as Dr. G said, you really have to look for it in order to find it. I mean, it rarely just sort of comes at your doorstep. But going back to your question about what the feminine is to me, and it actually connects with language as well, because to me the feminine is everything that's uncertain within me. It's kind of the cosmic bubble where everything comes out, and I later give it shape, but it's kind of like the unknown, really, for me, at least at this point.
For me, I feel that even concepts of the phrase unknown, actually, we refer to something as an unknown because that's part of the colonization of our mind and spirit. It's not that moving through a spiral leaves us with unknowns. It's that we've been trained to believe that knowing is that we can project 10, 15, 20, 100, 2,000 years into the future in a linear way. And I feel like if we can embrace the spiral nature of living on a round orb that spins in space as well as rotates around another series of spinning, we will see that the spiral is a very natural design, and that we've been trying to iron the kinks out of the spiral and create knowns. And even in our journey in doing that through science, we've arrived at quantum physics and found out, oh, it's impossible, actually, that anything is linear. The spiral and the nature of interconnectedness is at the heart of where we are in our own research with quantum physics. And so what we do know is that linear is not a possibility. We do know that we're spinning. We do know that the nature of elements themselves can be a particle, a wave, can be here, can be there, can have multiplicity. And so once we accept that this nature of seasons, the nature of cycles, the nature of things not being completely under our control in a linear way, but nonetheless, we still have room to anticipate. It is going to get cold as we move through fall. And we do have to prepare for winter. And then spring will come, and it's time to sow the seeds into the earth and plant for growth and harvest. We're already programmed to work within the spiral and to work within the seasons. And even though each year may look different, it's also the same in that we still move through the four seasons. And I feel that when we open our hearts and minds up to the concept of spiral, some of that fear around the unknown will naturally dissipate. And for me, that's really what an integration of the divine feminine looks like for the human consciousness at this time, surrendering to the truth of seasonality and of tides and of turning, endless turning and spinning and orbiting, and that there are some there's some solidity there, and there are things to lean on in the spiral. It's not purely random.
Wow, yeah. So I really thank you guys for speaking just a little bit, giving the world a preview about what's coming up tomorrow night at the Foundation Gallery. So if there's anything else you guys want to add, or Laura, since you won't be able to be there, just about your film or how you would want to frame it.
Yes, I mean, if anyone has any questions, they can always visit the website. It's www.ensoulmentfilm.com. And there's my email. If anyone has any comments or anything, I mean, please feel free to reach me. I will be happy to talk to you.